And we're back at Getaway Friday Morning, Friday, October the 18th, 2019, 16 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into WWGH Radio. Scott Spears along with you, guest co-host this morning, Jeff Ruth. Charlie Evers back today, 10:10 a.m. until 12 noon.
I'm a guest co-host.
Oh, yeah. Did I say it wrong?
Oh, I just thought I was a guest.
No, guest co-host. Did I say guest co-host?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I said, didn't I?
But I'm not really a guest co-host. I'm just a guest.
Is there something precluding you from being a guest co-host? Do authorities come in and shut us down if you're a guest co-host?
No, co-host sounds like I had something in planning this.
Oh, well, no.
As opposed to you just calling me on Wednesday and say, hey, I got some time on Friday. Can you come in?
Excuse me. Guest this morning, Jeff Ruth. Okay, but I think co-host because I think basically this is not an interview. This is more of just a conversation.
Okay, yeah, all right.
This is like Jack Parr.
Yeah,
you know.
Okay.
We got through that one. Now you've been to the Hormel plant, and
we drove by it there in right. Austin, Minnesota, which isn't that far from Minneapolis. We didn't stop or go in.
Now, yesterday we called the Hormel people.
That's what I understand.
Because we want to know what spam means. And apparently it's an acronym created by the brother of the vice president in the 1930s of the Hormel company. But we don't know what it means, and they don't either. What would be your nearest guess to what spam means?
Hadn't thought about that. The P might have something to do with pork, because there's pork products in spam.
Well, we did learn yesterday that spam is not ham. Now, see, I thought that was the correlation. Because spam to me sounds like ham, but it's pre-cooked.
Yeah, I think spam would be more, I think more pork with spam than ham.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
Do you like spam?
Not a big fan of it, but I'll eat it. My mother, when we used to pack our lunches in elementary school, and once a week my mother would always give me a spam sandwich. And it either got thrown in the trash. I think I went 3 years and never told my mother I didn't like spam sandwiches.
Was it just spam and bread?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No, you couldn't have gone. Your mother, I met her at your retirement party, very nice woman. You couldn't have gone to her and said, Mom, I just don't like that.
I probably could have, but when you're 7 or 8 years old, you just don't want to tell your mom that you don't like something that she made.
Well,
and she might have put, like, in a baggie, she might have put a piece of lettuce or a tomato or something like that.
I don't know what it is about spam. It might be the congealing when it comes out of the can, but it just...
And the can, on the few times I've tried to open a can, when you... And I don't know if they still have the same way to open it, but you had that little key, and you had to kind of, and you'd get like a third of the way around, and then the key would break or whatever, and then you couldn't figure out how to get the spam.
You never get it out of there. You have to call the bomb people and the bomb squad
in
to blow it open.
I don't even know if they still use that key to open the spam.
I don't know. How is spam sold? I don't buy it. Now, and I also yesterday, how much does spam cost? Because I've never bought spam, to my knowledge. I don't even know what spam would cost. Now, if anybody knows any, break in at any point here. 740-383-9944.
Sounds like the price is right when they would do the pricing and they'd have a piece. I would guess spam would be $2.79.
Oh, it's got to be higher than that.
And maybe so. I don't know.
I bet it's $3.50.
Okay.
I bet it's $3.50. I bet it's closer to $4.
Well, maybe somebody can give us a call.
Yeah, let us know.
Okay.
Now, you spam buyers out there, how much does spam cost?
And do they still have the key?
The key to open up the spam.
Yeah.
Or do you know what spam means? Have you ever heard what spam stands for? 740-383-9944. Or if you have any other questions, give us a call. Now, yesterday we had a running thing yesterday afternoon because the Bratwurst Festival just happened back in August in Bucyrus. And what a festival that is, by the way. Did you go this year?
Did not go this year, but I had probably been to the last 35 of them.
They put on a great event over there in Bucyrus. For being a smaller town, mm-hmm. that festival's very well attended, well put together.
Maybe
here comes sponsors. Our spam expert, we hope. Let's see if this is it. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. The price on the spam was getting worse from about $2.59 up to $3, depending on where you buy it at.
$2.59 to $3.
Yeah, it depends on where you buy it at.
Okay, so I said $2.79. I was in the ballpark.
You were.
They don't have the key anymore. They have the flip. They have a tab.
A tab.
You have to pull it and pull it back.
Okay.
Oh, okay, so the key is gone, and it's about $2.50 to $3 in that area.
Well, it depends on where you buy that. I know Save-A-Lot runs around close to $3.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's. Do you know what it means, spam?
No, I've been racking my brain for the last couple of days about it.
Well, and, go ahead.
It's not bad. They have Armor, they have some other off brands that you can buy that are similar to spam, and they're just as good or better.
I can believe it. What's an off brand of spam? Is it just like a store brand?
Well, they got Armor.
Armor?
And then the store brand, and they have Higgins. It's called Higgins at Save-A-Lot.
Oh, okay.
And that's what I usually buy because it's a lot cheaper.
Now, how much is the Higgins brand?
It's under $2.
Oh, under $2. So you're saving a whole dollar there.
Yeah, you saved a lot of bucks.
That's good.
But it's all similar made, and it's mainly pork and ham and byproducts.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for the info.
Okay, and tell Jeff, if you're listening there, Jeff, the boy says hello. How you doing?
Well, thank you. And to tell him hi back, I enjoyed meeting them a few times over the years.
Yeah. Well, we missed you at the popcorn festival and whatever, because I was laid up with my broken neck, and I couldn't get out and get them. Well, they made it, but I couldn't.
Okay. Well, you take care of that.
They didn't. They looked around. They didn't see you.
Yeah.
So anyway, they said hello.
All right. Well, tell them hi back, okay?
Hello.
All right, thank you.
And again, phone lines are open. If you have any guests, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Jeff Ruth is here as the guest. I said it right that time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now we know that spam is between $2.50 and $3, but you can get generic spam. That sounds delicious. And that can be under $2.
My every once in a while, my mother in the evening, because, you know, in the 60s, I mean, you didn't go out for dinner like people do, but occasionally she would make spam, and she'd put like a couple pieces of or slices of pineapple and like some cinnamon on it, and really it wasn't bad.
You can do up spam.
You can do different ways of spam.
Can you imagine? What are you eating? Well, I'm eating some Armor. That just doesn't, to me, trickle off the tongue. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. This ain't related to spam, but did I see Bill Macy pass away this morning?
You know what? Here's the thing on that. You know, Bill, who's been a devoted guest to this program, who's 97 years old,
right.
I talked with his wife about 2 weeks ago, and I knew he was not doing well, but I have not confirmed that he has passed away. I saw it one place, but not a major news site.
Okay.
So I'm waiting to hear back from his wife.
I've seen Larry Storick, whatever his name is. I'm his friend on Facebook, and I seen he posted it.
Yeah, I that's where I saw it too, that Larry Storch had posted it, but I'm still looking on the AP, and I'm still looking at his Wikipedia, and it doesn't say it, so I don't want to say it yet, but I have heard the rumors as well.
Okay, I had not heard that.
Sir.
Yeah, well, hey, thank you for calling.
You guys have a good day.
You too, bye-bye. Bill Macy was on this show, I don't know how many times, we'd have him on every couple months.
Is Bill the one that lived in California, went to the casinos a lot?
Yes. Okay. Yes. All right. Yes. We had him on, a matter of fact. He's 97. And we had him on right after his 97th birthday, and he sounded great and was the same Bill Macy. So, but I do know, because we were trying to book him 2 weeks ago, and I do know that he wasn't feeling well, but, you know, I hope he didn't pass away, but at 97, that's a great life, if he did.
Mm-hmm.
And a good actor.
Yeah.
Funny actor. Funny actor. You know, it is interesting, though, that things are behind the times that way. Because I didn't want to say anything until it was posted on a major site, but apparently Larry Storch didn't care. He just said, I'm posting this thing.
Well, Larry Storch has got to be up there in years, too.
Oh, over 90, I would think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, as soon as I know if Bill Macy passed away, we'll let you know.
Okay.
And I'm sure we'll do some kind of compilation of the best of Bill Macy, because he would come on and he would talk about those trips to the casino. He would sing. He sang this song from his childhood that his mother used to sing from like the 20s. And it was something like Lena, the Queen of Pasadena. And he was a good guest and a funny guy. And at 97, his voice was strong, his mind was good, and you know, just a good guest.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Shaky Green. A good, solid guest. So, as soon as I know anything about Bill Macy, I'll let you know. But, what were we talking about?
Spam.
Spam. You're right. Yeah, thank goodness you're here. Generic spam. But nobody knows what spam stands for. Now, does anybody know this? 740-383-9944. And I know where I was going with the bratwurst now. I was going to make a point with that. Okay. Yesterday, we had a question. How is bratwurst supposed to be properly eaten? I'm not talking, you boil it, you grill it, you put it on the bun on the table, and then there are three ingredients that go on the bratwurst before you would, the proper way to eat a bratwurst. Well,
sauerkraut would be one.
Sauerkraut is one.
Mustard, maybe?
Mustard is two. Now, the third one's the one we did not get yesterday.
How about onions?
Not onions, but we had the guess of onions. So I'll tell at 10 o'clock if we do not get the right answer. But if anybody wants to continue to guess on that, because we had a lot of guesses on that yesterday.
Some would be relish or pickles?
Nope, not relish or pickles. Do you think relish and sauerkraut would be good?
No.
I don't think that'd be a good combination. I think this is how the Germans eat it. You know, the sauerkraut, which is a probiotic. Did you know that?
Did not know that.
Yeah, sauerkraut is a probiotic. So if you have some kind of illness, sauerkraut will take care of that. So what's the third item on a bratwurst? 740-383-9944. Or do you know anything about spam? And we did have a trivia question yesterday, too, about coffee. Are you a big coffee drinker?
Never
had, saw you with coffee.
Never drank coffee in my life. I tried it one time, and it's like, this just didn't. No, I've and for you know, especially a morning person on radio. I mean, coffee just goes hand in hand with being on the air. But I was never a coffee drinker.
You know, the 5 years we worked together, I don't think I ever saw you really have anything in the studio, like a beverage or anything.
I'd bring in like an orange juice sometime. More often than not, it'd be a Mountain Dew or a Pepsi or something. Not a good way to start your mornings.
What got you rolling?
I guess.
Yeah. Because I'm not a coffee drinker either, but we had a trivia question about coffee. Oh, I know what it was. How are the Wizard of Oz, the great 1939 Judy Garland classic, and coffee related? There is a correlation there, some way, that those two things are related. Wizard of Oz and coffee. How are they related?
I would have no idea.
And we will give you tickets to the Columbus Zoo or the Wilds or Huntsman Auto Oil Change with Bill Huntsman, 5 quarts of non-synthetic oil for automobiles only, or Sleepy Hollow at Tecumseh.
Did that without notes, too.
Yeah, that was good, wasn't it? did you used to have to read quickie quizzes?
Yeah.
No, I had that. It's right up there. 740-383-9944. How are the 1939 classic Wizard of Oz and coffee related? Does anybody know anything about spam, what it stands for? And what's the third item on a bratwurst, beside from sauerkraut and mustard, that makes it properly eaten? 740-383-9944. Do you have a favorite food?
Crab legs.
Crab. So you're like Charlie, a seafood person.
I love seafood, yeah.
Seafood.
I don't eat that much meat. If I go to a restaurant, I'll usually order seafood.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you like the spaghetti.
Yep.
So you like the Italian food. Is there any food you don't like?
Cottage cheese.
Just cottage cheese. What's it about cottage cheese?
There's something about the texture. I just don't care for cottage cheese.
A congealing of the cottage cheese. Mm. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
For the sauerkraut, would it be Swiss cheese?
You know, it's not, but boy, that sounds delicious.
Okay.
I could see that.
All right. Well, I'm waiting for your answer.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Again, the question is, what is the third item on a bratwurst? Sauerkraut, mustard, and there's a third item. What is that third item?
Cottage cheese, I don't care for it. And I'm not big into asparagus. I don't care for asparagus. Now, the cooked asparagus isn't too bad, but the raw asparagus I don't care for. And cauliflower, I'm not big into cauliflower.
Well, cauliflower is the thing now. People are making crusts out of cauliflower and potatoes. I think there's even a potato recipe, well, I guess where you don't use potatoes, but it's a potato substitute where you use cauliflower.
Yeah, I don't think I'd go for that. But there's not a lot of things that I don't eat.
Now, what would be your favorite food outside of seafood? Like a good old American dish.
I like ribs.
Ribs.
Yeah, good rack of barbecued ribs.
You know, that's not cooked very often. That's not, very few restaurants serve ribs. Wonder why that is.
Maybe that could be too messy. I don't know.
You just don't see it very often. I was going to ask you tonight, being the sports aficionado that you are, I asked you during the break, but tonight's the big local game between River Valley and
there's a couple big games tonight. We're doing Clear Fork Pleasant tonight. Both teams really right in the middle of a playoff battle there, and then you got the Harding River Valley. Always, and there's always like a week every year where there's always like two or three really good games, and you can only do one. And then there's other weeks where it's like, you know, none of these games, you know, really excite you. So, both games tonight. Looks like the weather's going to be nice tonight. So get out and support the kids and go out and support your favorite high school.
Now, I believe River Valley Harding is at Harding.
That's at Harding, yeah. Right.
Now, where do you see this going?
I've seen both teams a couple of times. I've seen Harding. I did the Harding Pleasant game, and Harding played really, really well in that game. And then last week, Pleasant played River Valley, and Pleasant just dominated that ball game. I thought last week would be a really close game. This one, you know, turnover, I mean, it'll be, I think, a touchdown one way or the other.
If you had to have a gun to your head, who's going to win that game?
Oh, boy. Gun to my head. Harding, because they're home. If River Valley was home, I would. If River Valley was home tonight, I'd say River Valley.
River Valley.
But I'm going to say Harding just because they're home.
Now, Harding, they've improved a lot over last year, have
they?
They have.
Yeah. Yeah, they have. Last year, they only won two games.
Right.
And they have. They've played much better this year for the most part.
What happened?
Well, they have a second-year coach, and it's always tough, I think, for a first-year coach. The Browns are finding that out this year. I think
What happened there?
Well,
everybody was so excited, and now it's just all disaster.
It's just kind of falling apart for Cleveland. But again, a first-year coach, and I think he's made some mistakes up there. It takes you a little while to kind of get to know the players. You have a new coaching staff and so forth. And it generally takes a year or two to kind of get your system in place.
Now, is that true? Are you here to pick up a prize?
Yeah.
All right. What's it? No, come on in. Come on in. What's the name?
Fout.
Oh, yeah. That's what I thought. You've got the haunted tickets to Tecumseh, right?
Yep.
Oh, this is a scary event down there in Tecumseh. Right. Yeah. Hey, thank you, Tom.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
The lanyards. I heard you talk about the lanyards.
Yeah, we got the lanyards here. Enjoy.
Good to see you, Jim.
Thank you. Yep. Have a good day. But See, that's just how informal we are.
Mm-hmm.
That's the localness of it. But, hey, Terry, how's it going? Now, do you know what SPAM stands for?
Like the luncheon meat?
Yeah, like the luncheon meat. We don't know.
That would be a no.
That would be a no. We don't know what SPAM stands for. You can't be found.
Really?
It can't. It's in a safe somewhere at the Hormel company. Ah. We cannot know.
Duke the dog, like with the bushes.
That's right. It's hidden. It's hidden there. Just a minute late, he could have helped the guy with the. It works like that, doesn't it? Yeah. Oh man. What happened with it's the front office? I think it's the front office with the Browns.
Again, you're bringing in some new coaches, and you know Baker certainly had a good year last year, his rookie year. But you see a lot of quarterbacks kind of struggle that second year. You know, defenses kind of figure out what you're going to do. Plus, I think the Browns snuck up on some people last year and surprised some people. So I'm not surprised that they're struggling this year, but I am surprised that they've just been dominated in some of their games.
Well, here's what I believe it is. When you have a team...
Again, you're talking to a guy who came from Cincinnati who was a Bengals fan, so...
Well, what's going on there? For years?
Ownership, they don't want to spend the money.
What is it about Cincinnati that people really aren't showing up to support the teams anymore?
They're tired. The fact that ownership just doesn't seem to be really vested in the team. I had WLW on the other night, and they were talking the other afternoon, and they were talking to somebody that used to play for the Bengals. And this was, I don't know how many years ago, a while back, but... if you wanted like a can of Pepsi or a Gatorade in the vending machine, you had to pay. If you wanted a Gatorade before practice or after practice, you had to pay 50 cents or a buck or whatever. You know, most professional football teams, they're going to have that on in a cooler or something like that. You just take what you want, but they actually had to pay to get a Coke or a Pepsi or a Gatorade. Now that's pretty cheap.
Well, see, this is what I think is going on with the Browns. When you have a team, win or lose, that can pack the stadium every Sunday for whatever reason, why win? It doesn't become a priority. Because you think about it, if you're a team like the Reds, or you're a team like the Bengals, or you're a team even like the Indians, they have to win to get people excited to pack their stadium. The Browns don't have this problem. People... will go even when they stink. So why? What's the incentive to be good?
Well, it's almost like the Cubs.
Yeah.
You know, for so long, and the Red Sox. I mean, for so many years, you know, Cubs didn't win anything. Boston didn't win anything. But you had that very loyal fan base. And, you know, you look at the Dog Pound and so forth, and the Browns fans, you know, I mean... Even when they were going 1-15 or 0-16, Browns fans would show up,
and you know that becomes a problem. And until you get an owner who really cares about winning, doesn't care about the bottom line, which is what happened with the Cubs, and you saw it happen when who's the guy who bought the Cubs from WGN Tribune? Oh, what's his name? He took them to the World Series.
Not Wrigley.
Not Wrigley. No, he's dead. Wrigley sold the Cubs to the Tribune Company, and then the Tribune Company sold to the man who eventually was worried about getting good players and actually wanted the team to be prosperous.
Can't help you on that one.
But that's what happened.
Yeah.
They had an owner who actually wanted a good team, yeah. Wasn't caring about the bottom line.
And with the Bengals, you had Paul Brown, and then when he passed away, Mike Brown, and the Brown or the Brown family, you know, kind of has the Bengals, and they don't spend much money in free agency. They don't draft real well, and it's just you know, Marvin Lewis was not a popular hire. Well, I shouldn't say wasn't a popular. I think when he was hired, he was okay. But for so many years, you know, 8-8, 7-9, 9-7, and they never really, you know, made any changes.
You know, another interesting sports story here in Ohio has been the Ohio State football team, because before the season started, they had their new coach set up, and I heard all this trepidation, he's not the right guy, and they're not going to win, and it's, oh yeah, here we go. Oh yeah, the Ricketts, that's his name, Tom Ricketts owns the Cubs now. When he came in, they turned around, and I think have since then. But Ohio State, before the season started, the new coach was there. Everybody said, well, they're going to lose games. That's the way it's going to be. And they haven't lost a game so far.
They haven't come close to losing a ball game this year.
So maybe this guy's better than Urban Meyer, and they were just padding Urban Meyer's pockets.
He made some coaching changes during the offseason, and you know, he kind of had that three-week trial period last year when Urban was suspended, and he certainly made strong impressions with Gene Smith and with the administration and the players. Players obviously like him. I thought they would maybe lose a couple games this year, but they've just been dominant.
Which you just track, is that, can you really say when a team does well like that, that that's the coach, or do you have to have good players?
Coaching can make a big difference.
Really?
It really can. Yeah.
If you have the best players in the world, if your coach stinks, you're not going to do well.
No.
And isn't that the Browns right now?
I'm not going to lay it all on a new coach, but I Bill Parcells or Bill Walsh, give me any, you know, number of coaches. Bill Belichick, a lot of people don't like Bill Belichick, but he gets results. If Bill Belichick was in Cleveland, I think the Browns would have more than two wins.
When he was in Cleveland, he stunk.
Wasn't, it almost sort of like, you know, a Nick Saban. You know, I mean, Nick, it was, I don't want to say he bounced around, but he was at several different schools. He was an okay coach, but he ends up at Alabama, and it was the perfect situation for him.
Go ahead, caller.
Look at that team up north.
Oh yeah,
they've had good players. In fact, they had 24 seniors last year, and last year was supposed to be their year, and didn't happen.
And they were Michigan.
But I understand they can't fire them because they're still playing Brady Oak.
Yeah. You know, and Michigan was preseason. Michigan was picked to win the Big Ten East over Ohio State, Michigan. They got Penn State tomorrow. They got Notre Dame coming up next week. I mean, you know, Michigan could be dead in the water before Ohio State plays Michigan in the last game of the year.
Oh yeah, for sure. There, you know, his question is, you know, if you have good players, will you win? Not necessarily.
Well, that's true.
A good coach.
That's true. If you have a good motivator like a Woody Hayes, I don't think Woody Hayes had the best players all the time, but he was able
to parlay that.
You look at Minnesota.
Smartest players all the time either.
you look at Minnesota. Now, their coach came from Western Michigan, and he really made a name for himself. He went to Minnesota, and I think this might be his third year, maybe his fourth year, but they're, you know, Minnesota is unbeaten, and they're ranked in the top, you know, 20 in the country. That was obviously the right fit for Minnesota, and it's paid off.
I said that you know, Mark D'Antonio would be the smartest guy in the world if he'd hire Chris Ash now.
Yeah,
Chris Ash is one heck of an offensive coordinator, and that's what he needs.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, because there's not much offense in Michigan State.
No, there's not. A lot of defense.
Yeah.
A lot of defense.
Yeah.
Not much offense.
Wait. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
Right, bye. And again, phone lines are open for the next 16 minutes here, 44 minutes past the hour. Remember, Charlie will be back today after a day out yesterday from 10:10 to 12 noon. And we'll be doing Exchange Club from 12:15 to 1 p.m. today. But the phone lines, as I say, are open, 740-383-9944. And the question's floating around, does anybody know what SPAM stands for? What is the third item on a bratwurst that makes it properly eaten? We have the sauerkraut, we have the mustard, what's the third item? And the question for a prize is, how is the 1939 Judy Garland classic Wizard of Oz related to coffee? How do those two meet? What's the common entity there that connects those two now, things?
Are you going to give the answer before you sign off?
I'll do that. I'll do that at 10 to both questions.
Okay.
So 740-383-9944, or if you just want to guess and get the question right and don't want the prize, we can do that as well. But we do have some good prizes. Sleepy Hollow at Tecumseh, the Huntsman Auto Oil Change, the tickets to the Columbus Zoo, which are good through the first of the year, so if you want to hold them for the zoo lights, you can do that. But they're also having Boo at the Zoo right now, which is something a little different. And the Wilds, I think, run through the end of this month. So you have a couple weeks to get down to Jack Hanna's Wilds. 740-383-9944. Did you like The Wizard of Oz?
Sure. Everybody loved The Wizard of Oz.
But what is so iconic about that movie? Because, for example, I heard somebody the other day talking about Gone with the Wind, which was made the same year The Wizard of Oz was. But you're not going to find... I don't even think they show it on television anymore. I don't see it. Wizard of Oz is still shown.
And it used to only be shown once a year.
Like around Thanksgiving.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. And that was always, I mean, that was like must-see TV. I don't know. Maybe it was the Munchkins. Everybody liked the Munchkins.
They did.
I don't... I have the right answer for that. You were, especially as a kid, you were always scared of the Wicked Witch of the West, and you liked the Munchkins, and everybody liked Toto.
Everybody knows Toto.
Yeah.
It's a movie that I think merchandise still sells well, but it's not, you know, I wouldn't say it's probably the best written thing. It's not Casablanca. It's not Gone with the Wind, but it holds up better than they do.
Mm-hmm.
And is it that a distinction between black and white and color, do you think? I mean, it's the only movie to ever do that.
Right, yeah, yeah. It
was certainly the first movie to do that. Saban. Oh, Nick Saban.
And P.J. Flood, the head coach of Minnesota.
Oh, all right. That's interesting.
6-0, now 20-20, ranked 20th.
Nick Saban has 6 national titles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And PJ went from Western Michigan, and this is his third year at Minnesota.
What do you think it is that drives people to follow sports so heavy? People have teams, they have shirts, it's the whole thing.
Just getting away from whatever for, you know, a couple hours, 3 hours or so. Some people just can't really separate... getting away for a couple hours. I'll get up tomorrow, I'll turn on ESPN, and I'll watch College Game Day. Buckeyes aren't home tomorrow, so I won't be going to the game. But I'm going to watch a lot of college football tomorrow.
Now, the Buckeyes are on tonight, aren't
they?
They're on tonight, which is odd to be on a Friday night.
A lot of people very upset about that. Friday night should be high school football.
Yeah.
And when they announced that a couple of years ago, that Ohio State was going to be playing on a Friday night, it was in last year that they announced it. Northwestern's obviously very upset. Ohio State's upset. You can't bring your recruits in. Weekends during college football season, you bring people in, especially Ohio State or, Michigan. I mean, they'll fly recruits in from all over the country. You play on Friday night, they come in on Saturday, time for the game, go home on Sunday. You're playing on a Friday night, you can't do that. And a lot of the schools, I know it, and I'm not sure of any around here, I think they're all pretty much staying, 7 o'clock kick. But there was some talk about moving games either to a Thursday, moving it to a Saturday, possibly moving the games up a couple hours, 5 o'clock. Start something like that. Some schools, they don't have enough people to work the concession stands, just things like that. It's that trickle-down effect that a lot of people, I think it'll help the fact that it doesn't kick off till about 8:30 tonight. So, you can still get home. And, Northwestern's struggling this year. I think Ohio State's about a 28-point favorite. So it shouldn't be a close game tonight. So, most high school games are over, 9:15 to 9:30. So you can still go to the game at 7 o'clock. you know, game's over at 9:15 and be home at 9:30, whatever. You can still get home in time, you know, to see the end of the first half. But a lot of people very upset the fact that Ohio State's sharing time with high school. But it comes down to money. The Friday night games get good ratings, and that's the bottom line anymore, is how many people tune in to watch your game and watch your product.
If Ohio State had a bad season, would people still show up?
They'd show up, but they wouldn't be getting as much for the tickets.
They get a little bit of money, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
A little bit of dough. Go ahead, caller.
Before you give the answer, Scott, are you talking about when Margaret Hamilton used to play in that commercial for Maxwell House?
I believe that's right. It is the Margaret Hamilton connection.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Maxwell House she was in the commercial for?
Yes.
Yeah.
She played Cora.
Yes, you got it. Margaret Hamilton did the Maxwell House commercials for years.
Very good.
Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to tell you, too, around my house when I was growing up, the Wizard of Oz, my sister would go screaming out of the room when those monkeys would come on.
Those were scary monkeys.
Yes, uh-huh. The flying monkey.
So Margaret Hamilton, her character actually had a name? Cora?
Well, Cora was on the commercial.
Was that Margaret Hamilton?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But that was the commercial.
Was she like a waitress?
She worked in a store or something.
Oh, okay.
I think it was, something like that.
I remember Mrs. Olson from the Folgers commercials.
Yes, that was another one. But Margaret did that for a while. She... people couldn't come in and make coffee right or something, and she was always giving out advice. So, yeah, that's what I recall from.
That is the connection that Margaret, and people forgot that Margaret Hamilton later in life was in the Maxwell House
commercials. I had forgotten that.
She was Cora. Yeah. Cora the coffee lady.
Cora the
Now, have you figured out what Spam is?
What's that specialized meat? Spiced pork and...
Let's see, what would the A and the M be?
Spiced pork and...
Spiced porky... I don't know.
I don't know. Spiced pork and much more?
Processed. Processed American meat. Specialized...
We're grasping at straws.
Specialized processed American meat.
Well, since Quickie Quiz isn't on anymore, Jeff, I gotta grab it. Okay.
Do you remember the Quickie Quiz song?
Oh, I ain't going to sing that.
But you do remember it.
Quickie quiz, that tricky quiz. Come mm-hmm. on and play the game. I'll get you be a whiz. Yes.
Well, I did not know until Charlie said this a few weeks ago. That was not a local song. That
it was
actually. Huh. No, it was actually. Didn't Charlie say this, Jeff, when you were here? That was actually a national song that they would play. I guess a lot of stations use Quickie Quiz.
Really? I don't remember that.
Yeah, call Charlie at 10:15 this morning. He'll, I think, remembers that.
Okay.
Yeah, I can never remember the lyrics to it. I remember the beginning of it, but I don't remember.
Guess you'll be a whiz.
Yeah, prove you're smart, something like that.
Smart and wise, you gals and guys.
Very good.
That's good. But that was not played for a long time, was it, Jeff?
No.
That song went away.
I didn't play yet. It just kind of disappeared.
Okay.
Yeah.
We ought to come up with a name for our quiz.
What?
Well, like the Margaret Hamilton thing.
Just trivia.
Just trivia. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trivial.
Do you got the guess on the bratwurst? You going to guess on that one?
I don't know what that is. People have guessed everything. They've guessed horseradish. I thought coleslaw. Have they guessed coleslaw?
I think they did yesterday. Okay. It's not coleslaw. Coleslaw is it's for the Reuben.
Well, yes, that's very good. That is very, very good.
I've never had a Reuben.
Oh, my God.
No, that's corned beef, isn't
well,
it?
Well, yeah, you just have to,
That's not on the keto
diet. Of course,
diet,
I'd have to throw half of it.
That's right. You can't stay on the keto with that. Hey, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Hey, we've got 5 minutes left here. Well, a little more than 5 minutes, better part of 5 minutes. What does SPAM stand for? And what is the third item on a bratwurst other than sauerkraut and mustard? There's one more item. What is that item? 740-383-9944. But Margaret Hamilton was the Maxwell House woman, and that is the connection between Coffee and the Wizard of Oz. Cora.
Yep, I don't remember Cora, but I remember Mrs. Olson with Folgers.
Now, Mrs. Olson, we had this discussion. What was she? Was she just a nosy neighborhood lady?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who told people how to make their coffee?
I don't know if she was nosy, but yeah, she was like your typical next-door neighbor that, you know, stayed. She probably quilted in the afternoon, watched her soap operas, and made coffee. Yeah.
And went. Well, like I remember Mr. Whipple, who I think was
Don't squeeze it.
But we knew what he was. He worked in the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was trying to help people get the right toilet paper.
No.
What a job! What a job for Mr. Whipple. But I, you know, we knew these characters were well defined, and the redheaded lady who did the paper towels, Bounty. You know, she was a waitress.
The quicker picker-upper.
Yeah. It was a famous actress who portrayed that character. Remember the lady in the restaurant?
I do,
short, redheaded lady who would help you show that Bounty was the best paper towel to clean up your mess? But she was a waitress. But Mrs. Olson was kind of nondescript. Yeah. I don't know what she did. I don't know what her purpose was. You got up in the morning and you were brewing your coffee and Mrs. Olson peeked her head in the window.
Her husband went to work and came home at 5 o'clock, and she probably had dinner on the table for him.
Coffee.
Well, she'd have to have more than just coffee for her husband when he came home from work.
Was there a Mr. Olson? I never saw Mr. Olson.
No, I don't.
She might have been like a spinster lady.
She might have been.
And that's why she had to stick her head in people's windows. I'm sure Margaret Hamilton was a spinster lady.
That's a word you don't hear much anymore, spinster.
Is there any other word that could take the place of that? Because what does spinster indicate?
Kind of plain Jane.
Alone.
Yeah,
you're alone.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what spinster means.
Yeah.
Yeah, alone and unmarried.
Yeah, never been married.
Never been married. And, you know, it's these characters, where are they today?
You used to have three stations. Now you have 300 stations.
Well, you think you'd have more Mr. Whipples
running
around out there, but you have fewer. Everything is digitized now. So the big difference in Ohio State winning and losing is the price of those tickets.
Oh, going back to Ohio State.
Yeah.
I've noticed that there are, especially the Florida Atlantics and the Miami games, there's patches of empty seats. 10 years ago, you didn't really see any empty seats, but you see it. You know, they talk about the experience. You know, they got to have Wi-Fi at your seats and so forth. But yeah, if Ohio State would lose a few games, I think you would notice a drop in attendance, but you'd notice a big drop as far as the ticket prices. Wisconsin game next week, I've heard tickets anywhere from $500 to $700 a ticket.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, how do you afford that with your family? I mean, even if you're making a good wage, if you're making $50,000 a year, maybe you could take your family out to that.
I wouldn't take my
even with $50,000.
Even with $50,000, yeah. So much of it is the corporate, the box seats, the businesses, and so forth.
Who, in your opinion, has been the best coach at Ohio State? Because they've had such a lineage of great coaches.
Well, not John Cooper.
No.
Yeah, I see John Cooper. He goes to all the Ohio State games,
he's the only one who I think didn't leave in disgrace. Everybody else is left under some kind of suspect.
With Earl Bruce, I mean, that firing was not handled very well at all.
I don't think Earl took it very well either.
No, and Earl certainly has become very endeared to Ohio State fans over the years. I think maybe Earl, I mean, obviously Woody with his popularity, but, I mean, he started out, I mean, he didn't have a very good career to start out at Ohio State.
Why have people forgotten Paul Brown? Now, they don't forget Woody Hayes, and most of these people now would not have been in Woody Hayes' time, but they remember him. They know who he is. There's a street named after him down there. What happened to Paul Brown? Because Paul Brown was probably the better coach and had the better record, and the knock on Woody Hayes when he took over was, you're not going to be Paul Brown, you know? So why is Paul Brown forgotten?
I think Woody is more remembered for his flamboyance.
Because he was eccentric.
You know, everybody remembers the punch in the Gator Bowl, but, I mean, Woody would go to the hospitals, and, I mean, there are so many stories where he would go visit somebody at Children's Hospital or whatever, and he didn't want anybody to know that. That was, you know, the softer side of
him. But you don't think it was the fact that during a live national game when there was only three channels, he would stomp his watch on the sideline? I think that's when they said, oh, this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he always wore the short sleeves. He never put on a coat.
It could be 10 degrees, and you're right.
He never put on a coat, and he would not take his medication, and he would swing at a player like he did in that game.
He used to do the Saturday night TV show on Channel 10. And it was like a 15-minute, might have even been a 30-minute, but, you know, he would be on with a couple of his players, and the players would never get a chance to answer. And I think it was Lee Velicides was from the back recesses of the brain, but he was the host, and he'd ask, you know, John Smith, you know, tell us about this particular play. And Woody said, well, we designed it to do that. And you'd never hear from John Smith the whole show.
Well, and that's it. Where are the eccentric characters today? You could not have a Woody Hayes if this new coach.
No, you don't grab players by the face mask or by the shoulder
stomp
pads
your watch.
And stomp. Yeah, you don't do that anymore.
But what?
And I think a lot of people miss that.
Well, yeah, what happened? That's, you know,
announcers. We become more politically correct.
But even broadcasters, you know, in those days you had Jimmy Crum, who was all plaited up, and you had people like John Madden, who really wasn't. I had this discussion the other day. We'll end on this note before I give my answers here. But John Madden, somebody said it was the greatest football broadcaster. I said he was the worst. I mean, he couldn't even speak. That's what he sounded like.
I was never a big John Madden fan as a broadcaster.
No, but he was entertaining because he was goofy.
Yeah.
And but he not a.
Well, you think back to Monday Night Football with Howard Cosell and Dandy Don Meredith.
Dandy Don was not good, but I thought Howard was good.
Mm-hmm.
But Howard was also eccentric.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I say you don't see people with toupees like that anymore.
No,
it's all gone.
Yeah, can you imagine smoking a big cigar at a broadcast booth now? It just wouldn't fly,
wouldn't float. We got the Margaret Hamilton today. I think the only thing we haven't answered is the third item on a bratwurst, and we were close. We were close on this one. It's Worcestershire sauce.
Oh, I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah, that's it. That's the little tang that helped you out. Well, Jeff, I thank you for coming in today. It's always a lot of fun. The 2 hours blew right by.
Loved it.
Yeah, yeah. You have to come in more often. We have a lot of fun doing these things.
All right.
Yeah. Jeff Ruth in here this morning. Charlie Evers right around the corner with lots of giveaways and conversation. And don't forget, after Charlie today, the Exchange Club returns.
I got 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Just got a text from somebody who said, missed you at Lions Club Tuesday night, but this morning is making up for it.
Hey, there you go. Whoever that is, thank you for listening.
Thank you, Maury.
Thank you. Thank you. Maury. I know Maury.
Okay.
A nice man. Charlie Evers right around the corner. Stay tuned.
Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. This is Scott Spears, high above Marion in the WWGH News Chopper. News in Marion, mail us at scott@wwgh1071.com. And keep an eye out for the WWGH News Chopper flying high overhead.
This is Tara Dyer, and I am a candidate for City Council, 5th Ward to be specific. I, along with WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, would like to remind you not to forget to vote on Tuesday, November 5th. This announcement has been paid for by